Hey, we've got one last practical session here, and this is tips for honoring your mother. The older I get, the more I desire to honor my mother. My mom is, I think, 74 now, still working. She'll be retiring in May, and I think having sent one daughter off to college makes me even more aware of my mother and the importance of continuing to honor her. For those of you that are teenagers in here, this is for you as well. The first one is just to talk to her. I am amazed how much my parents' lives have slowed down. There's not a whole lot going on in their life, and I feel like I run nonstop, and sometimes I forget that it's important for me to just pick up the phone and call my mom. My mom lives in Pensacola, Florida, by the way. So she lives a very long ways away, so I don't just, you know, run over and visit her real quick. But I've been working on trying to learn how to honor her. The next one, of course, is to listen to her. We have a joke in my family. I have one sister, and the joke is that I tell my parents absolutely everything and leave nothing out. And with my sister, they have to pry information out of her. So I called a week ago or so, and I said, is this a good time? And they said, yes, we're just sitting down to eat, so we're ready to talk. And I said, you mean you're ready to listen to me? And I laughed because that's the joke, that I do all the talking. And so I do try to remember, though, to make sure when I call them, I budget enough time to actually listen to them. How is your week? What's going on with you? And make sure that I ask intelligent questions. Another one here is to celebrate her special days. Of course, birthdays, anniversaries. But what about things like retirement, if your mom still works? Teenagers, if you're here, a special day for you is probably the last day of school. But what if you were to make it a special day for your mom? Because I know that some moms are homeschooling for the first time. Sometimes they've been homeschooling forever, and that's long. Sometimes just taking your kids to school, helping with school projects all the time, but just finding ways to honor their special days. My mom, I told you, is long distance, so I don't see her generally on any of her special days. But I have learned, I got the idea from someone, I don't know, but having a cake delivered to her work is cool, because then everybody at work knows it's her birthday, and she's not going to eat all that cake anyway herself, but to have all those people to share it with is really fun. It seems like it's a lot more enjoyable than just having something delivered to the house for her and dad to eat by themselves, you know, in their home. But that's been fun. We used to have a policy at Christmas time that we would not be gone at all from home over a Sunday. That was a really big deal to my husband, since he's a pastor. He wanted to be at his home church on Sundays, because that was a really, you know, Christmas is a lonely time for people, and there's a lot of ministry. So we were never gone away. Well, a couple of years ago, my husband said, I think we should go to South Carolina. All of our family is back east, so his parents live in South Carolina. He said, I think we should go to South Carolina and visit my family for Christmas. And I said, okay, and it's my job always to get the plane ticket, so I'm talking dates to him. These are the dates that would work, so we're not gone on a Sunday. He said, well, it's okay, we can be gone on a Sunday. I was like, what? Back the truck up. You know, like, where did this come from? All these years, we've never been gone on a Sunday. And he said, I don't know. I'm just getting old. I'm getting soft. And I think my mother would like to have her son sitting next to her in church on a Sunday. And I told my mom that, and she said, yep. I was like, okay, I got that message loud and clear, that sometimes just having your daughter sitting next to you, or your son sitting next to you in church, is just special. I do have one book for you to write down if you're a reader. There's a book called The Power of Moments. Has anyone read it? I know some of you have. It's by Chip and Dan Heath. Our family has all read it. It is not a Christian book, just so you know that, but it has some really neat things to do. Moms, you could really use it with your kids in your home, just ways to really make moments big for your children. They tell this one story, not for your children, for anybody, but they tell this one story. There's a hotel in Anaheim. It's old hotel, but people love to stay at this hotel because they have a popsicle phone by the pool. And if you are down by the pool and you pick up the red popsicle phone, they will deliver a popsicle to you on a silver tray with white gloves. And everybody just loves the popsicle phone at this particular hotel. But that's just one example, but he just gives a lot of ideas for ways to make, to celebrate small moments and make them big for your family members and people that are important to you, but even for honoring your mom. There's just neat ideas in there. My next tip is ask her advice. Ask for her advice. The older I get, the more I've got, in a sense, my systems, my routines figured out. I know what works for me, and sometimes I have to remember my mom would still like me to ask her advice about things, about the stages that I'm starting to go through that she's already been through. About, you know, mom, can you teach me how to make those cinnamon rolls? Because I remember that you just always made the best ones, or whatever it was. Just find ways to make them still feel useful. Remember, I have a daughter in college. I'm getting to that stage where I don't just tell her what to do all the time. But I kind of love it when she calls and says, Mom, how do I do such and such? And I'm like, yes, she still needs me. And I think, oh, my mother would love for me to ask her a question that would honor her so much if I would just ask for her advice. And my last one, I guess it's not my last one, do not make fun of her. Don't make fun of her. Okay, we mentioned that one yesterday. But just honoring her. And then the last one kind of goes with that, but spend time with her in unhurried ways. I remember when I was newly married, we lived here in California, I'd go home and really expect to get spoiled because I was, you know, I'm home from California and mom would take me shopping and I could get whatever I wanted. And then we would just, you know, move fast. My mom, I love to walk. That's probably like my favorite thing in all the world to do is walk. And, I got that from my mom. My mom was a fast walker. And as I got older and I started going home, I realized, you know what, I need to go home and serve them and I need to slow down. And now I have to, I mean, I don't know if I can walk any slower. I'm still trying, you know, my mom is just walking a lot more slowly. Everything just hurts more. But I am trying to learn to talk slower and to sit down and just listen. The older they get, spending time with her in unhurried ways. A little phrase, love walks slowly through the crowds, but love walks slowly with our parents and just spends time with them. Thank you, Emily. The verse that we're looking at today, you have it there on your card. Matthew 6:33. I'm guessing this is another verse that you know, that you have memorized, and perhaps is a special verse to you. I want to close with this verse. It has been a really special verse, particularly through the shutdown for me. It was the very first message that our family listened to. I feel the need to just disclose this, okay? I hope that during the shutdown, I hope you listened and supported your pastor in the messages that he prepared for you. My poor family, they filmed their father, and because he's a perfectionist, they filmed him sometimes three times the same sermon, you know, to get it right. So when Sunday morning came, we did not listen to Dad's message. We listened to something else. But the first message that we listened to had to do with this verse, Matthew 6:33. And then at the end of shutdown, before we went back to the outdoor services, before we started that up, we listened to another message by the parallel passage to this verse that we're going to look at. And so the Lord has just used it in some special ways in my heart. I think it's a verse that helps us know what to do in a pandemic. It helps us know what to do in times of national and international conflict, which we have experienced this year. It helps us know what to do as we're looking forward to what may be some scary economic times coming for our country, scary times in general, difficult times that only you know about that are just in your family that may not even be national things. It's just a comforting verse, and I believe that it's a verse that if you and I truly lived Matthew 6:33, we would be living in clear contrast to an unsaved world if we really grasped Matthew 6:33. Would you say it with me? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. If you've got your Bibles, would you please turn to Matthew chapter 5? This verse is found in the context of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. So if you have a red letter edition of your Bible, you'll notice that most of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's all in red ink. That means Jesus was preaching a really long message. So let's see who he was preaching to. You'll notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, that Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Okay, these disciples, Jesus had just called them in Matthew chapter 4. They have left everything to follow Jesus Christ. They had done a little bit of ministry with him. They had seen some great things that he could do. And now Jesus wants to just zero in on these disciples who have said they want to follow him. He wants to teach them what it means to truly live a life that mirrors the Lord, that follows him, one that's a sacrificial life. I think the fact that you ladies are here today, you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is talking to you and to me in this Sermon on the Mount. So what we're going to do, we're going to do a really quick cursory look of the verses leading up to Matthew 6:33. Because I really believe we will much better understand and much better appreciate this verse if we understand what's coming, okay? Or what led up to it. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5. What are those first several verses, like verses 3 through 12 or so? What are those called typically? The Beatitudes, and Jesus is teaching his disciples how to live. That's where we see, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Then if you keep going, you'll look at verses 13 through 16, and you'll see what I alluded to yesterday. Jesus called us to be salt and light. He told us to hold back corruption, and he also wanted us then to be very different from the world, that contrast that we were talking about. If you'll turn, well, I said turn the page. You don't have my edition, I'm sure, but in my Bible, I turned the page, and I started looking around verse 21 of Matthew chapter 5, and there we see that Jesus was teaching his disciples a better way to live. So the Old Testament had taught them, if you kill somebody, you're guilty of murder. Jesus said, I'm telling you that if you just look at someone with hate and you call them a fool, you're guilty of murder. Jesus said, you were taught in the Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you just look after a woman to lust after her, you're guilty of committing adultery. Sometimes we think that grace comes in the New Testament, and therefore it's a license to sin almost. But Jesus holds us to a much higher standard, even than the Old Testament did. Jesus is teaching his disciples a much better way to live. Keep going in your Bibles. Look at chapter 6. And you'll see in the beginning there a discussion of prayer and fasting. And then we get to the famous verses, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures where? On earth. Instead, lay them up in heaven, where thieves do not break through and steal, where moth does not corrupt things. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And finally, verses 22 to 24, Jesus instructs the disciples to love him and serve him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. So So put yourself in the position of these disciples for a little bit. Everything that Jesus has just asked them to do, those are some really tall orders. They're living in a time period when who is in control of their land? Do you know? The Romans, the very ungodly Romans, and they don't like them much. They're living in a land that God had promised to them. This was their promised land. And now, because of their sin, because they had gone after idolatry, now God fulfilled his promise, and they're having to live under the control of somebody else. Somebody that doesn't appreciate the land, doesn't appreciate the promises that God had made to Abraham, and certainly doesn't appreciate God or their faith. Now, if that were me, can you imagine a little bit? Can you draw some parallels to living in what we may have used to have called a Christian country with values that we hold very dear? And we see now those values being taken away from us. We see people in office that really don't hold the same Christian values that we do. Now, with that in mind, I believe these disciples, as they're listening to Jesus, their natural tendency would have been to live in this society with all of these heathen Romans. Their natural tendency would have been to blend in and act like the ungodly Romans, so you can just stay under the radar, not call attention to yourself. But what did Jesus say? Be salt and light. Their natural tendency was to stand up for their rights. This is our land. God gave it to my people, to my forefathers. You have no right coming in telling us what to do. But Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I think their natural tendency was to only do what they were told and nothing more. But Jesus said in these verses that we've looked at, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, I just read about this recently. It's just a cool thing, I think, what the Lord was asking of these people. The Romans were allowed to, if they saw a Jew, they were allowed to compel that Jew to walk with him 1 mile and carry the Roman's pack. So here's this centurion soldier. He's got a big pack. He sees a Jew, and he can say, hey, Jew, walk with me, carry my pack for 1 mile. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, go with him 2 miles. Live differently than what he expects of you. Their natural tendency, these disciples of Jesus, was to only be concerned with their own well-being. Kind of like pandemic hitting, running to Walmart or Winco and cleaning out the shelves, and then going to your house and holding up in your house, you know, this is for us and we're going to survive. But Jesus is teaching them instead, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know what a peacemaker is in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitude? It's an evangelist. It's somebody who's helping other people make peace with God. How do you do that when you're just all holed up in your house for months and months and months on end, okay? How do you help other people get to God? I think that was the natural tendency of these disciples of Christ. And Jesus comes along and tells them to do something completely different than what they were used to. I think if I were a disciple sitting there listening to Jesus tell me how to live, my natural tendency would have been to say, but Lord, what about me? Everything you are asking me to do involves me laying down my rights, involves me serving everybody else, involves me giving of what I have to help meet somebody else's needs. And what about me? How am I going to be taken care of? How is my family going to be taken care of in this very difficult time? And so in verses 25 through 34, Jesus addresses the need of the disciples' heart. He has told them all of these things, to give sacrificially, to live sacrificially, to do everything for the good of somebody else instead of themselves. And Jesus said, now I'm going to tell you, you're worried about how you are going to be taken care of, but I'm going to take care of you if you will do all those other things. So look at what he says in verses 25 through 34. We're going to read these together. Jesus said to these disciples who loved him, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air." So he says, let's just look at nature for a little bit. "They sow not, these birds, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" There's an order here into which Jesus is saying, hey, I love animals. In fact, I love them so much that I take care of them and I feed them. But I love you more. You humans are more important to me even than these animals, and I'm going to take care of them. Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Now, when we see that, we think, you know, I can worry enough and maybe grow. That's not what it's talking about here in the Greek. As I understand it, it's talking actually about adding to your life. So here, this person, how many of you can worry yourself into living longer? Nobody. You can worry yourself into dying quicker, but you certainly cannot worry yourself into living longer. Then he says in verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." Now, my family was out on a hike last week, and we hiking along, and we looked out, and we saw a few beautiful poppies, California poppies. And my daughter said, "There must be more over there." And so she just kept walking. It kind of went like this, and I was getting really scared. But they just kind of kept going. There was a drop-off and lots of water down there. But on that side of the mountain that was hard to see, it was just covered with these beautiful California poppies. It was gorgeous. So perhaps if you can picture a California poppy, maybe you can think of that as we look at verse 28. He says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin." They do absolutely no work. They just show up. "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." The Queen of Sheba came from afar to see Solomon, and she said, "The half has not even been told to me how great your wealth is and how wonderful everything is that you have." And Jesus said, "Wow, the fields are clothed even in more splendor than Solomon had." And then in verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, I will go back to that hiking spot in a few weeks. And with our temperatures and our dryness, that will be completely gone." And yet God cared enough about that thing just to bring it for a little bit. And then tomorrow it's cast into the oven. "Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore," we see this phrase again, "take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" And then he says, verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Now here, when Jesus is referring to Gentiles, he's referring to unbelievers. So if you want to think like an unbeliever, you want to live like an unbeliever, you want to act like an unbeliever, then you worry about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Who's going to take care of me? Jesus said, that's how the unbelievers live. You've been called to live differently. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. And then he says, here's your job, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, that's the context of Matthew 6:33, that Jesus was asking these people to live a completely different way. And he said, you can do that because I will take care of you if you will live that particular way. In this verse, we come to that word, seek ye first. Okay, write down or just make a mental note that that means first in priority. It doesn't mean that you have to do that first thing in the morning before you have your coffee, before you talk to anybody else. You must go straight to your quiet place and have your quiet time with the Lord. It's not what it means. It means first in priority. That's the thing that is most important to me. The thing I give the most effort to, the thing I think about, how can I order my day so I can make sure I have my time with the Lord? First in priority is to seek the kingdom of God. Notice the word, the verb that Jesus chose is this word, seek. It means to really go after something. It's not this lackadaisical attitude. I'm going to start my day, and maybe somewhere along the way, I'll look for Jesus, and I'll find him, and it'll be this great moment, okay? No, it's, I'm going to seek for him. I'm going to seek this. There's not going to be anything, no care about it. I'm going to work at it, and as we said yesterday, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to try to make this happen. Seek ye first what? What does the verse say? The kingdom of God. What in the world does that mean exactly? One commentator said, prefer heaven and heavenly blessings far before earth and earthly delights. I like that because it goes along with Matthew 6:19-21, where it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven instead of here on earth. So I'm supposed to be living my life, seeing others come to Christ, doing works, good works for Christ with the right heart attitude, so that when judgment day comes and those works go through the fire, they come out gold, silver, precious stones instead of wood, hay, and stubble. I'm to seek first the kingdom of God and what else? His righteousness. So I think I told you on Thursday night, my husband's definition of righteousness that I really like is God's unchanging love for that which is right. I'm supposed to look hard for the things that God loves and make those my loves as well. The Bible is the only absolute for what is right and wrong. But there's a lot of distortion going on right now. In California, we're living in a world that distorts it all. We're living in a state that says it's a sin to not recycle and save the earth, but it's also a sin to speak out against homosexuality. We've got things pretty skewed, right? Instead, we have to know what God says is right and wrong, and those are the things that we need to stand for. That's our responsibility. Jesus doesn't say, okay, I want you to go find a job that allows you to make sure that your grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren are going to have great wealth, okay? Instead, he says, your job is to move wherever you need to, live wherever you need to, that enables you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God says, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what are all of these things? Okay, look back, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What are these things? Look back at verse 31. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Okay, everybody's moving out of California. You know why a lot of people are moving out of California? Not everybody, I know. But a lot of people are moving out of California because they want to make more money. Okay, because California is expensive and I can get a much bigger house and more land for my kids to play in and my dog to run in if I will move to Tennessee or Texas or Idaho, okay? Everybody's moving to Idaho. Okay, so, but listen, God is going to provide what we need. He says all of these things will be added unto you. It doesn't mean we're going to have a big house. It doesn't mean we're going to have a big piece of property. It doesn't mean we're going to have a lot of wealth. But he promises to take care of us, and he will give us good blessings, the things that come from being right with him. Now, I want you to notice, the very last service I told you, the last message that we listened to as a family right before we got out of quarantine was on the parallel passage to this one. And the man that was preaching pointed out a verse that I have called the beautiful P.S. to Matthew 6:33. Would you please turn to Luke chapter 12? And I want to show you, it's the same sermon. It's the same passage, but Luke adds a verse. Luke 12:31, you'll notice, is pretty much the same verse. I hear pages turning, so I'll wait a second. Luke 12:31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, sounds very similar to Matthew 6:33, right? But now look at verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? Even just the words of our Lord saying, fear not, little flock. What a tender, compassionate Father we have. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ladies, we're not like the Gentiles or like the unbelievers who don't have a heavenly Father. We have a heavenly Father who sees us. He knows how we're spending our resources, our time, our money, our energy to serve other people. He sees that. He's making account of it. He's making record of it. And it's his job. He wants us to do that. And he says, it's my job to take care of you. And in fact, I love doing it. It brings me great pleasure to do so. When I took Jessica to college, she had graciously, by our church family, they had taken good care of her. They had given her lots of gift cards and some cash. And so we went first to Target for her dorm room to buy the fun stuff. You know, Target's where you get the pretty stuff, the cute stuff. You know, you're going to pick out your towels and all this stuff. Well, she would see different things that she wanted for her room. And she'd say, I wonder if I should get that. I wonder if I should get that. And then she'd say, no, I don't need that. I'm going to get this instead. You know, she was making all these wise purchases. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, I wonder if I could get that for her. I wonder if I could get that for her. But what I was supposed to get her was all the boring stuff at Walmart. Okay, so we would go to Walmart to buy the cheap, boring stuff, and you know, all this, the medicine and all the cleaning supplies and all that kind of stuff. It was my good pleasure to get her whatever she was seeing that she wanted, but I didn't have unlimited resources. I had enough to get her supplies. She was going to have to deal with the rest. But our Heavenly Father, He has unlimited resources. It's His good pleasure to do these things for us. And so He says, ladies, moms, daughters who are followers of Me, you just make one thing your priority. Just follow Me, and I will take care of all of those other things that are important to you. I think Emily told you that we were on staff here for almost 8 years. Both of our daughters were born here. And everybody that's on staff here is on mission support. So we didn't have a ton of money, but the girls were little. And I thought, okay, we've got two girls. And so we need to be putting some money aside right now, you know, when they're babies like 0 and 2, for three things. Number one, braces. Because my husband has really bad teeth and I have really bad teeth. So we better be budgeting right now for braces. Number two, college. Number three, what?
Weddings.
Okay, so I'm like, we better start this right now because I heard if you put a little money aside every month, it'll grow to be really big and this will be great and it'll fund college and weddings and all that. And my husband looked at me and he said, you know, that's I get it, but we need to eat. We need to buy groceries today. And so we were able to put some money aside, but we never had those three special columns for those three special things. I remember we hit the braces stage, and it wasn't a miracle in the sense that there wasn't a check that showed up in the mail from nowhere. But I remember it was time for braces, and there was kind of like this budget that we was, you know, itemized for something else. We didn't need it anymore. And so, oh, it covers braces. There you go. And the girls didn't have braces at the same time. So one girl would be done. The next girl would come up. And there was that money right there that we needed for those braces. It got time for college. And last summer didn't go as planned, of course, for anybody. And so our family kind of regrouped. And my husband, because I'm married to a pastor and everything must be alliterated, he said, let's make a goal for the family this summer. We're going to 3 M's, memories, because it's the last summer before Jessica goes to college. Money, which sounds kind of funny after this lesson, but it was, let's pool all of our resources, anything anybody makes that's extra, let's just put it into the pot for Jessica for college, and we'll just all work together on that. And number three is ministry. Let's just give our summer to the Lord and minister as best we can. And boy, God gave us lots of ministry. He provided some job opportunities for the girls, but it wasn't a lot, but, you know, the Lord had provided, and we were still kind of wondering, all right, we're going to have to just keep praying for this college bill to get her off to college. And I remember this family that didn't even go to our church, they invited us over for a meal, and I learned pretty quickly this was not just a meal. You know, there's something going on here. And they sat us down and they said, we decided we wanted to love on the Perrys, and we figured the best way to love on the Perrys was to help Jessica with college. So we took a whole week. They had picked up a side job, and the whole family gave the entire week just to raising money for Jessica. And they had set a goal for the family, and God doubled their goal, and they handed her cash. And she and I just sat there crying like, wow, this is so unexpected. Where in the world did this come from? Now, I'm not telling you that so you can go, well, God's never done that for me, because we serve the same God. He takes care of us. It's his good pleasure to do things for us. And Jessica still has three more years of college, you know, and Mackenzie's coming. I don't know how God's going to provide, but he told me, you just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Bennis. And all these things will be added unto you. Don't quit serving me. Just keep giving. And when my husband says, let's feed so-and-so, and let's feed so-and-so, and I think, and he doesn't feed little meals, too. You know, he feeds men, and they get steak and tri-tip and ribs. And I'm like, okay, okay. And we just keep going, and God takes care of all the rest. And he will do the same thing for you ladies. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I don't know what the future holds for our country. I don't know how soon Jesus is coming back. I think it's soon. I sure don't want to be spending my time when he comes back doing trivial things. I want to make sure I'm living for the kingdom. Let's do that together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that it is your good pleasure to take good care of us. I pray that you would help us to trust in you with all of our heart, to not lean on our own understanding, but instead to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And I pray we would trust you with everything else. Thank you for these ladies. Thank you for how well they paid attention. Lord, I know that they desire to be good mothers to their daughters and their sons. I know that the teenagers here desire to be good daughters to their mothers. And I pray you would keep working in all of our hearts. Keep growing us. Help us to be successful and victorious Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.